Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the resources you've given us, Father. We thank you for the Word of God you've allowed us to understand through the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. Thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, and his sacrifice on the cross, because you loved us and he loved us, thus giving us access to heaven for those who believe, Father. Lord, let us use the abilities and skills you've given each and every one of us to serve you. Let us show our love, Lord, not in speak or in talk, but in deed and in truth. Help us lead someone to Christ this week, Lord. On this list, we see Lynn and Wendy and Roy and Norm, all prayers of salvation, Father. Lord, we do lift them up to you, and our loved ones who might not know Christ, for those who have fallen away, we collectively lift them up to you, Father, and pray for their salvation, pray for their repentance, that they'd fall on their knees even right now, seeking forgiveness, restoring fellowship with you. And Father, if they haven't heard the gospel, bring a Christian into their lives to just present the gospel, to come alongside them, to be with them, and to share them the hope that we all know and have. We thank you for the Baptist Children's Home in Ithaca and around the world, Father. They're in need of house parents, Father, and pray that you will answer this prayer and provide people to raise up these young men and women. Father, for a son who is struggling with mental illness, Father, who doesn't take his meds consistently, Father, we ask you to just be with the family to encourage him to take a medication, Father, that might stabilize his mood and to restore peace in his heart and peace in his mind, Father, in his life. And again, Father, just that he'll be consistent in taking these meds. We think of Tom, who is stricken with cancer, Lord, we've learned this morning, and ask you to bring healing to him. We pray for remission. We pray for the physicians who are working with him, and ask you to bring peace to him and health to him, Father, through the treatments you've allowed him to have. For Barb Cowles, Father, we ask you to bring healing to her hand, who she struggles with just recovery, Father, from a car accident, Lord, and we know that there might be some bone grafting that needs to take place, Father. We know that can be quite painful, and ask you to bring relief to her today. For Franklin, Lord, and Cheryl, whose father passed away this week, Franklin's father passed away this week, Father, and pray for their grieving process. We know you called this man home, and we thank you for his life. We celebrate his life serving you, Father, and pray for, again, the grieving process for the Spots family. Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are being persecuted, Lord, we pray that you'll bring them safety and peace, Lord. Pray that they still be bold and still learn the gospel, yet do it safely, Lord. Thank you so much for all the blessings you've given us, Lord, because we know everything good comes from above. We thank you for the grace you've given us. We thank you for the faith you've given us, Father, and thank you for the mercy you've had in us, Lord, before we believed. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Darren. We appreciate that. If you have your Bibles with you, feel free to turn to Luke chapter 19. As I said, we're going to be focusing on the 10th verse in that chapter, and we will be finishing up our series today on the attributes and characteristics of God and moving into more of a Christmas theme, and then we'll go into the book of Luke starting after the first of the year. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. Help us now as we take time to think of you as Savior, recognizing that you want to save people, that's why you sent Jesus, and help us to be grateful and be joyous about our own salvation, but at the same time also working to share the gospel with other people. We thank you that you love us, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As you know, Christmas is coming, and we just got done with Thanksgiving. This is a time of the year when we have an opportunity to think about our Christian faith and all that is connected with our Christian faith. We think about shepherds, and we think about sheep, and we hear stories about wise men, and we think about stars and mangers and a baby boy, a virgin birth, angels, gifts. The list just goes on and on. It's a time when our church and many churches like ours will place special emphasis on Christ's miraculous birth and how such a birth does in fact relate to our own salvation. God is many things to us as believers. We have looked together at some of these in our series on the attributes and characteristics of God. And this morning we will be looking at the whole issue of God as being a Savior. God is a Savior, and that's why he sent Jesus. He's many other things, but it seems ultimately he's a Savior. For example, Psalm 68, verses 19 to 20, it says, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death." Isaiah 43:11, "I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me." Psalm 118:4, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." This morning we're going to look, as I've already said, specifically at Luke chapter 19, verse 10. We've already seen the context of this passage in the 9 verses preceding it. What we have is a story of a very wicked, a very godless man who had betrayed his own people for the sake of money. He was a money-grubbing materialist, and he was selfish. But this very man was saved from his sin and the consequences that such sin would inevitably bring. Salvation. Being saved. Being saved from the penalty of sin. Being saved from the corrupting power of sin in human lives. Being saved one day as we stand before Christ from the very presence of sin. Being saved from spending eternity in hell. I know we don't like to talk about hell, right? We want to be positive. We want to be upbeat. But you know, you've got to deal with the bad news before you start dealing with the good news. And the bad news is that we're all sinners. And we deserve to be in hell. But the good news, there's a loving and gracious God who has provided a Savior through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is the essence of biblical Christianity. Being forgiven. Being reconciled to God, having a permanent home one day in heaven. That's what Christian faith and belief is all about. As we look this morning at Luke chapter 19, verse 10, we're going to find three actions that God took to secure our salvation. Number one, he became a man. He became a man. Imagine that, the God, the creator of the universe, humbled himself and lowered himself to become one of us. Notice the title, the Son of Man. This is a name that Christ used for himself more than any other name. In fact, apparently it was used 83 times by him in the gospel. This title was messianic in nature, placing special emphasis on Christ's humanity and his humility. It's interesting that in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, Christ is also referred to as the Son of Man there, coming to the Ancient of Days on the clouds of heaven. And there are certainly some aspects of this title, Son of Man, that is glorious as well. God became man. He became one of us. He identified with the people that he came to save. He was not only a God who is distant, not only a God who is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present, above everyone and everything. Not only was he a God far away, but he was also a God who could draw near. A God who could identify with, understand people, and relate to us. He could feel what we feel, experience what we experience. So he said, well, God just wouldn't understand that. God understands. Christ has been there. Not only would he identify with those he came to save, but he would also be able to act and serve as our great high priest. He became the Son of Man so he could turn around and make us the sons of God through faith in Christ. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John MacArthur put it this way. He said, the infinite became finite. The eternal was conformed to time. The invisible became visible. The supernatural one reduced himself to the natural. Please turn with me to the book of Hebrews.